You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Hello and welcome to Larry Connors USA. I'm Jack Jackson, sitting in for Larry today. He's taking a well-deserved day off, and he gave me the privilege of trying to fill his shoes here on Larry Connors USA. Now, I got to say right up front, folks, you don't fill Larry Connors' shoes. You just be blessed to sit in the chair and bring you Larry Connors USA. For those of you who don't know me, Larry asked me to sit in today and fill in the show. And as I was trying to put it all together, Larry helped me. So it should be a pretty good show. I was thinking about all the news that occurred around the USA this last weekend. The 1st of May, the 2nd of May, and today. And it goes on and on. And when I thought about what to share, what is important to you and to me, and of course to Larry as he tries to send out the actual truth of what's transpiring in our great nation and around the world. So the first hour, I thought there's got to be something near and dear to your heart, Jack, that you want to talk about. Well, for those of you that don't know me, I spent 11 years in the United States Marine Corps and 19 years in active duty reserves. I was a couple tours in Vietnam, helped out in the first Gulf War. And my day job was I was a test pilot for the Boeing Company in St. Louis. So helped build the weapon systems that this great nation uses, that our young men and women are using to defend our freedoms. And when I thought about that, I thought, Jack, talk about the military. As I went around and looked at various articles about what's going on, I found very little about the United States military and what our roles are and what is to be done. What are they doing? How are we helping them? Can we help them? And so the first hour, we're going to talk a lot about the military, but I'm going to put some other things in. There's some other issues that are on the table that we need to discuss. But just as a footnote, there's an organization out there called the American Veterans who every Memorial Day provide a rolling thunder. That's motorcycles. You may have heard of it. You may have participated in it. Well, the Department of Defense canceled it this year, and I'll tell you why in a little bit. I'm going to tell you about where the focus has gone in the military. But in addition to that, we'll have a special guest, John Rossimondo, will be calling us this hour and getting an analyst perspective of what's really happening so you can make the decisions. But we'll get to John in just a minute. But one of the things I wanted to say about the military as we talk about it, there's a lot of technology out there, folks, that's going to help save lives, win the battle. But this is just one old Marine colonel's idea. You will never replace the human mind on the battlefield. If you want to win, you got to have people on the battlefield who think, who react. Because we used to, on my first tour in Vietnam, there were three scenarios that took place. One was the brief for the fight. One was the actual battle that ensued. And then there was the debrief after the conflict. And ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake about it. 90% of the time, none of those three things matched. The human mind is irreplaceable in combat. In this old Marine's thinking, it is a privilege to be here with you. We're going to continue that conversation, but we're going to talk about some of the things that have gotten away from us. I'm Jack Jackson for Larry Connors, USA. We'll be right back.
LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. Went to the rock, got on my knees. I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Hi, this is Jack Jackson. I'm sitting in for Larry today. Larry's taking a well-deserved day off. He asked me to sit in. I said, I can't fill your shoes, Larry, but I'll sit in a chair and give it my best shot. We were talking before the break a little bit about the military, but there's a lot going on over the weekend, and it was kind of difficult for me to pick some subjects that were with it. The main topic this hour is our military. There are some people outside the military that have a tremendous effect on our fighting men and women, our warriors. One of them is our commander-in-chief. He leads it. He proposes it. He says this, you go there, you come home, you don't. He's bringing the troops home from Afghanistan. Some people like it, some people don't. But one of the things I noticed this week about our commander-in-chief is when he took office, he wanted to say he was going to provide unity. Newsweek came up and said, and I quote, only 23% say U.S. more unified under Biden. If he can't unify America, you got to lead by example in a military. There's an old saying, never ask your people to do something you won't do yourself. But he put some people in his staff that I have real trouble with, and that's Mr. John Kerry. Now, when Mr. Kerry ran for president, I did some research on him. And I don't know if you fully understand what he did when he was 4 months in Vietnam, if my data is correct, and he was with the riverboat crews. When he came home 4 months after being in country, and I was there in 68 and 69, he decided to turn against his fellow soldiers, his fellow warriors, the Marines, the Navy, the sailors, the Air Force, Coast Guard. And it's documented that he took the medals he got, and some people wonder how he got them. I won't question that. That's not my job. He got them, but then he threw them over the fence at the White House and said, no, thank you. When he ran for president, his own riverboat unit went against him, if you recall, and said, this is not what he's doing. It's not right. What he did was not correct. Now he's the climate czar under our commander in chief. Now, when you're in command, like President Biden is, you got a command. That's what Nimitz told Halsey at the Battle of Midway. When you're in command, command. So we've got Kerry now, the climate czar. I found out this weekend that the gentleman owns a lot of stock in oil refineries. Now, I'm just a country boy, grew up in Indiana, live here in Missouri, fought for my country, wasn't appreciated when I got home. That's fine. But how can you say you're for climate and then have stock in the oil companies? I wonder if AOC knows this. And why didn't he tell the president before he took the job? But what sticks in my craw about this, Mr. Kerry, more than anything, was while President Trump was trying to negotiate a better situation in the Middle East with Iran, he was over there giving them secrets, so I'm told. And I didn't really think the man was capable of that. I gave him the benefit of the doubt. But then I read that the ambassador from Iran to the United States apologized for telling everyone that Kerry did that. That really, really upset me. And I'm thinking, well, Mr. Commander-in-Chief, can't you do a little better than that, surrounding yourself with people that really are something less than care about our country? Because that puts our men and women in uniform at risk. Well, I don't want to belabor the point on Mr. Kerry. He was picked. The Commander-in-Chief said to do it, so he's doing it. But we, the people, see right through it. We see what's going on. We know what's happening. Only 23% of the people polled by Newsweek said President Biden has united us. Other things that come about, I think, was the comment the President, Mr. President Biden made about North Korea. That didn't sit well at all. But there's some other news that we can talk about. This is not news, really. It's just another day in the life of our Vice President, Vice President Harris. We're 40 days. She's chairman of the immigration issue. 40 days. Hasn't been there. Decided to try and pay some South American countries some of your tax dollars. Keep your people home. Like that's going to work? I don't think so. But what bothers me more than anything else is these immigrants at the border, some of them came with a real honest idea, I think, that they would be let into this country based on President Biden's comments. And they have not been. And they're paying an awful price in their living conditions and the situation they're in. But I'm not going to support the problem. I'm going to tell you a little more about it. I've got some friends in Arizona and New Mexico and Texas. And they say that these immigrants, illegal immigrants, once they cross the border, are storming in, sleeping in people's garages, stealing things, coming across the border at night, and just wreaking havoc. The last time I had a social studies course, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas are part of the United States. Why aren't we helping them? Why aren't we helping them? North Korea is going to call us bluff. And then this is not about the military, except it takes money away from them. We've all heard about this. Probably you're sick of hearing it, but I'm going to approach it from a different aspect. You're probably sick of hearing about the infrastructure bill that has less to do with infrastructure and more to do with other items and issues. We've heard about it. I'm not going to belittle it, but I'll bet, if you want to take this bet, and I'm not a betting man, but I'll just bet you that part of that money for, quote, infrastructure, which will go into the green piece and all of that stuff, comes from the military budget. The GOP is trying to put their stamp on this, but they're not getting any cooperation. Another thing about cooperation, I don't fully understand. And I'll tell you a little bit about it just for a moment. I was a state representative in the state of Missouri. And as a state representative, I was chairman of the Veterans Affairs for the great state of Missouri. And I was also the co-chair or the chairman of this joint committee on Homeland Security. I went to Washington. Washington came to me. We talked about the situations, what we do, what was the best way to proceed to defend our country, including discussion of illegal immigrants. And it became apparent there was just so much money. And some of that had to be taken from other places. And I got a feeling that the budget for the military is being undercut. And I think our guest, the second half of the hour, will attest to that. So this infrastructure bill, where's the money coming from? You know, and you've heard the old cliche, I'm sure Larry and many, many other conservative radio talk show hosts say, don't spend what you don't have. And then they bring the children into it. Well, it's going to be the children. The children are going to have to pay for it. Well, that's true. That's one of the threats I used to put on my kids. You know, I got a big debt. If you don't behave yourself, I'm going to put you back in the will and you're going to inherit it. You know, of course, that was more of a joke. If it didn't laugh, that's not my problem. I thought it was pretty good. And so those are some of the issues that are on the table today. If I read it right, even Hillary Clinton kind of said, let's don't pull out of Afghanistan. But she gushed over the infrastructure bill. And folks, when I was a state representative, near the end of session, and Congress does this a lot, I was here in the state of Missouri. For you listeners that are outside the state, let me explain something to you about that process. You have a bill. Let's say it's for roads. And you want to put a bill on, say, for schools. Put an attachment. We have a law in the state of Missouri that said unless it's similar in content, you can't do it. I mean, it would be totally inappropriate to put a flood river bill onto an infrastructure bill or education onto infrastructure. You just can't do that. Well, even back then, near the end of session, and the session meets from the 1st of January to the middle of May, Just a quick footnote. I had somebody tell me one time, you're only working half a year. And I looked at him and I couldn't contain myself, which is more times than not. I said, do you know how much damage we're doing to you in a half a year? Do you want us there all year? He just turned, laughed, and walked away. But the point being is we had these big, thick omnibus bills, which were, when you had one, it could be 700 pages long. So you really, but you knew it pertained to that particular subject. That's not true in our Congress today. So they can put add-ons and things, you know, the bridge to nowhere, the, you name it, if it's somebody's particular pet. Well, I've kind of rambled on here, but I want to get back to the subject at hand, and that is discussing our military. And I want you to think about this. Has our commander-in-chief turned our military into a social experiment or a better fighting force that will defend our freedoms?
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, good afternoon, Larry Connors, USA. Listeners, we're glad you're here. You're probably thinking, strange voice. Well, don't touch the dial. This is Jack Jackson sitting in Larry's chair trying to fill his shoes. Miserably, I might add, but I'm trying. But one thing Larry and I have in common, and that's our love for our great country. And patriotism is alive and well because of listeners like you. You know, we've been talking about the military, and we can go back as far as our independence and the first shot at Bunker Hill and on up to our present-day war as they come out of Afghanistan. All I ask is that when our warriors come home today, treat them like the heroes they are. It's very important. It's important to me. One of the things that is so inept in all of this is you can do that without fear of reprisal from our government agencies. What do I mean by that? You'd say, Jack, you're right. You can't fill Larry's shoes. Where are you going? What's up? Here's the issue. The FBI went to Alaska, kicked in the door of a couple's home, put them in handcuffs, and said, where is Speaker Pelosi's computer? And they were dumbfounded. The lady thought it was a joke at first until they put the cuffs on her, according to what I read. She laughed. And they said, it's not a laughing matter. And they had the proper paperwork to come into her home. But you know why they did? They are following up, the FBI, with every person who was in Washington, D.C. on the 6th of January. That's what these people said. We weren't even near the riot. We were on vacation from Alaska. Now you hear what happened to Rudy Giuliani. You've heard that on talk shows. Larry has taken it on. He has talked about it, I'm sure. And so it begs the question, where are we? Where are we at today with our freedoms? With something like that? Are you afraid? You know, if the FBI comes to my door, I'm going to open it rather than having to kick it in, because that's going to cost me money. I had another friend who is had the FBI. He was in Washington, D.C., but he didn't go to the rally. He was there for another reason. He said the FBI come to his door. Now, in all fairness to the FBI on this one, he said they were very nice, very cordial, and they spoke to him in a friendly manner, and he answered all their questions, and they left. And I said, well, Scott, how'd you feel about that? He said, well, they were pretty friendly and nice and cordial and handled it well. And then he smiled and looked at me and he said, I'll bet you that's the way the FBI was when they went to General Flynn's house the first time. I couldn't help but chuckle. There's some doubt. There's some fears. But we don't have to be afraid. And we'll be right back with an expert on our military that'll keep you free.
Podcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around another 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed, and at the same time, will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website. Rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag, cool their red, white, and blue. And when the band plays Hail to the Chief, cool that point the cannon at you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, welcome back to Larry Connors USA. This is Jack Jackson. Our special guest is an expert, Mr. John Rosamondo. John, welcome to Larry Connors USA.
Thanks for having me on, Jack.
You bet, John. John is a researcher and defense policy and counterterrorism expert. But, John, your bio went on. But before we get started on the military, I've discussed a little bit earlier in our show. Tell our listeners a little bit about you, because you're fantastic, as best I can tell. But I want you to give me a two-minute rendition on John, and then we'll get into our military, because our listeners are waiting for the expert, and that'd be you.
Well, I've been an investigative reporter, been in the trenches and so forth for like 20 years. I'm somebody who believes in just the facts. I'm not interested in a spin. I'm somebody, I've always been focused on the military and on national defense for my personal and now professional. I think that, we do ourselves a disservice by resorting to narratives instead of, just the facts. I mean, that's why I'm friends with, people of different political, religious, et cetera, persuasions who believe in the facts.
Well, speaking of facts, I'd like to have you present some facts on what, and I'll narrow it down in just a moment, on our present-day military. First, let's talk about readiness, because the Commandant of the Marine Corps cut back. I was a Marine myself, so I kind of watch that. cut back on our force, our spending, cut on air units. And I heard the Secretary of Defense say this weekend in Hawaii that, you know, we're going to cut back. We're not going to do it the way we have been. We're going to use technology. Give me your thoughts on that, please.
Well, I just have to say that, you know, technology doesn't replace boots on the ground. It doesn't replace ships. I mean, the Chinese are just commissioned 4 warships last week.
Oh, my.
I mean, they're ramping up their defense budget. 10 years ago, they spent about $80 billion on defense. Now they're spending, $200-plus billion on their military budget. Our equipment is old. We're putting more emphasis on politics than on readiness. A former admiral who was outraged that they had to retake the oath of the service after the January Capitol Hill riot. I just don't see that we're ready. And as far as the Marine Corps, your Marine Commandant decided that they weren't going to have tanks anymore.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if we end up having to do his island hopping strategy, a lot of Marines are going to get killed because we're not beginning with the end in mind. We're not about winning. We're just about, having managers who give growth. When Secretary Austin was a general, he was condemned by people in his own command for being an uninspiring leader who cared about what the White House had.
I hadn't heard that, but I don't doubt it at all. And you're right, the tanks are going after we get. So talk to me about Afghanistan. I went on active duty for the first Gulf War, helped out in the second, providing airplanes to fight the second one. And what about Afghanistan, in your opinion? In, out, you're not sure?
Well, I personally think that we need to change our strategy from a counterinsurgency. We can't win. I mean, the British, if you go back to the 19th century, the British sent 40,000 men into Afghanistan and left with maybe 40. I mean, Afghanistan, no one has ever won in a war in Afghanistan. I mean, I think that we should be maintaining our intelligence and our networks in Afghanistan, keep the ear to the ground for 9/11 style attacks and something like that, instead of fighting an unwinnable insurgency, counterinsurgency.
Well, I agree with you because I got involved in my first combat tour in something like that. It was called Vietnam, which leads us to other questions. The Secretary of Defense said that we, and then I'm going to get into the Assistant Secretary of Defense, Hicks. He said that we are looking at other avenues, and he doesn't believe that the way the war he was involved with, and I didn't look up his background. I don't know if he was boots on the ground or not, but it's got to change. We have to use technology. You just said we can't replace boots on the ground, but I read when the tanks were left, 480 Marine recruits left, and they can't get them recruit. What's your thoughts on how do we get young people into an all-voluntary force if we're not doing anything that they want to do?
Well, I think that we need to, back in the Cold War, they had incentives for people who became nuclear specialists. I mean, we need to have similar specialists for those who want to come in, become high-tech instead of going to, work in Silicon Valley. And I think that we need to look at ways that we can use like drones, combine that with artificial intelligence, because that's what the other side's doing. You know, they're developing hypersonic missiles that can't be countered by human beings. You need to have technology that's fast enough to intercept those missiles before they hit your ship. I think that we also need to be focusing on doing away with this political correctness. I mean, why did you join? I mean, people joined to be patriotic. Now they're being told that America's a bad, it's an evil country. and that the American military are imperialists. I mean, that's not a way to recruit people. That's not a way to win. It's not a way to defend the country.
Well, you're absolutely right. And yet they seem to be geared toward the military being a social experiment rather than a fighting unit. And I didn't know they after this was new to me, and I thank you for it. I go back and cover the swearing in again once you've done it. I will say this as a prelude to your comment. If I counted correctly, there are 71 words in the oath that a man or woman takes to defend this nation. I do solemnly swear to support and defend the Constitution of the United States, et cetera, et cetera. The oath of president of office is 36 words, if I counted correctly, which means you have twice the commitment of the president of the United States to defend this country. What did they do to have to change this? What did they do?
Well, we're dealing with the 60s radicals who, through Brexit, Vietnam veterans, and spat at you in the airports running the country and running the government. I mean, this is the outcome that they've been wanting for 50 years. America being on its knees and supine and, everything for them is about politics. They don't care about, America, the red, white, and blue, or whichever. They care about, bringing America to its knees because they think that America has been a force for evil.
John, that's amazing. You have done your homework. You've probably forgotten more about defense and terrorism than I'll ever know. But that your comments have been just amazing to me. I don't want to take a lot of your time. But do you have any final words for the listeners of Larry Connors USA about the military and your views, please?
Well, I think that you need to, keep pressure on your members of Congress to, keep the strategy and the focus on winning wars and against allowing this political correctness to continue in the military. And, pray. I just think that we need to keep our focus on where it should be, which is winning wars, being able to not just, subsist against the Chinese or Russians, about winning decisively so that, the best defense is a good offense, and the other guy knowing that if they try to attack you that they won't win.
John, you're the man, as they say. This has been tremendously eye-opening for me. It's obvious you have a wealth of knowledge, and if I do the program again sometime, I would deeply appreciate, I've only talked to you on the phone a couple times, but I consider you a friend. I'll impinge on our friendship and have you back if you're willing.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jack. I really appreciate it.
Hey, keep them straight out there in D.C., and don't take any prisoners. You just got to feed them.
Exactly.
Bye now.
Thanks.
Well, you heard it from a true analyst who was a reporter in the trenches 20 years, studies this stuff every day, has access to the truth in the Pentagon. And Larry Connors USA is all about the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Hi, Jack Jackson in for the Larry Connors USA show. Well, we finished the first hour, and I hope you really enjoyed it. We had a special guest from John Rosamano, who talked about the military. We talked about some other things, people who may have been subverting our military. I will just share this one last moment. I started at the top of the hour with the AMVETs, the American veterans who ride motorcycles, and it's called Rolling Thunder. And every Memorial Weekend in Washington, D.C., they get their motorcycles. They come from all over the United States, and they honor our fallen warriors. This year, the administration, through the Pentagon, canceled their permit to do that ride. And they said, and I quote, "It's because you may have COVID and we don't want you in the parking lot of the Pentagon." They're still looking to maybe go to the parking lot of JFK Stadium to get it done. But that is the most ridiculous thing I have heard. And I've heard a lot of them this weekend. In the next hour, stay with us. I'm going to talk about China. Not the China you put on the table when companies come in. Stay with me, folks. I may not be Larry Connors, but I got an idea you're going to like it, because I'm going to tell you a personal story of my involvement with the Chinese and perhaps a little bit of Russia, because the word communism is alive and well. And I want you to know about that. In addition, I want to wrap up a little bit of this hour by saying my daughter lives in South Carolina. Her senator is Senator Scott. And I have not met him, but she has seen him at a rally, shook his hand. And I called her before we did this show, and I said, "What's he like?" She said, "He's a gentleman's gentleman. And he came up through the ranks the hard way." And then she said something. She said, "Daddy," and she's got three children of her own. They're grown. "If they can do that to a true American hero, what can they do to us? You got to help me make the playing field level." You sports fans, you'll know what that is. You'll know where it comes from. You'll know how it works. And so he doesn't deserve what he's gotten from them. And I wish him all the best. And I'm going to support him. They've got another senator down there that I had the privilege of meeting once. And he's a kind man and believes his country. His name is Senator Lindsey Graham. Graham's a good man. I am disappointed a little bit in some of the other senators around the United States. And Arizona has a senator that by the name of Senator Mark Kelly. And he was a Navy captain, and that's equivalent rank that I achieved as colonel in the Marine Corps. Very well done, captain. He went on to become an astronaut. And I had some business out in Arizona a while back, and I saw his commercials. I thought, you know, he's running on a Democrat ticket. That doesn't matter. He seems like he's got the values that conservative Americans, God-fearing Christian people have. And he gets to Washington. And all those things he said. And the reason I'm disappointed in him is he's a man in the military whose word should be good. And I'm not going to belittle it, but he's voted 99% of the time the way Chuck Schumer's told him, not what he said he would do. Enough on that, man. He'll come around. If not, I'll leave that up to the good citizens of Arizona. I've got another senator that I want to support, and that's the senator out of West Virginia, Manchin. I like the way he talks. I like the way he stands his ground. He may be a Democrat, and it bothers me a little bit that they try and strong-arm the man to change his mind. I guess it's part of politics. I saw it a little bit. He's standing his ground for his constituents. And I'm going to close this hour out I don't want to alienate Democrats and Republicans. That's not why I'm sitting here behind this microphone. What I want to distinguish is liberals from conservatives. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, there are conservative Democrats all over this United States who are upset with the fact that the government still tell them they got to wear a mask. They got a governor in New York who's being sexually assaulted, accused of doing all that to ladies. Nothing's happening. Why not? And I've got Democrats that are upset about it. Well, and then we're going to talk about China and not the type you put on your table. Next hour, stay with us, please. This is Larry Connors, USA.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.